what we have to do if we want to stay permanently healthy is to find the source of any disease that we have. And our soul always tries to teach us a lesson by the disease, and also the location means a lot. Like if you have a back problem, what do you think the symbol is there? Anybody got an idea? What?
You don't feel supported.
Right, you're not standing up for yourself. And depending on where it is, it would even have different meanings there. So, right, a lot of these common phrases, or you give me a headache, you know, people really do give you a headache, but on the other hand, you're allowing that person to give you the headache.
For my favorite, I am so sick and tired.
Right. And if circumstances make you sick and tired, well, that's why you're sick and tired. And your feet, for instance, allow you to stand. Your heart is a place of spiritual love. So if your soul tells you it's time to develop spiritual love and you're resisting doing that and you resort to astral or emotional love or the more selfish love instead, and you mistake that for the spiritual love, then your soul will keep giving you problems until you learn to raise your consciousness up from the lower love to the higher love. And you'll find many people with heart problems are, you can tell, they're fairly evolved people that are just, you know, dabbling in the spiritual love but haven't really got there yet 100%. Now, on the other hand, it's a little precarious to make black and white judgments on these things, but because we also have, we have so many things affecting our health, from the environment to physical things, lack of exercise, our food, our attitude, our karma. There's so many things affecting our health that if somebody has a heart problem, you just don't want to jump on them and say, oh, you're not loving enough, you know. But the person, it's good for the person to learn that and then introspect and then think, well, maybe that is my lesson. And if his soul tells him it's his lesson, then he can benefit greatly by concentrating on learning spiritual love. But the weakest part of your body will carry some symbolism in it that will tell you where, what lessons that you need to learn, where you're weakest at. The weakest part of your body is a symbol of the weakest part of your character. Okay, who has something wrong with them here? Larry, you got something wrong with them? I thought you were healthy as a horse, Larry. Okay, what part of your body is most affected? What say?
I said, I give you permission to embarrass me to tears. I have a digestion problem. I got to take these pills every time I eat to help me digest food.
Okay.
One guy, that Roy Curtin, said that my small intestines were not doing all of their job correctly.
Okay. That's connected with the solar plexus. So it's something in your emotional body, your emotions. Your emotional, you're not absorbing, just like your intestines absorb food and turn it into energy. You're taking emotional energy and translating it, inwardly translating it a little bit incorrectly. So you need to take feelings, become sensitive to feelings of other people, and then translate them accurately. How is this person really feeling? How does this person feel about me? Am I reading them correctly? You know, that's questions you would want to ask yourself. So when you learn to read people correctly as to what they're feeling, and also read your own emotional body correctly, what are my emotions? To thine own self be true. What am I really feeling? What do I feel about my ex-wife, J.J., Lorraine, or Bill David, or whatever, friends, your brother, and look at all the feelings and make sure you assess them accurately, how you feel about them and how they feel about you. Say you were in a relationship and it ended and it caught you by surprise. If you were maybe paying more attention to the astral, interpreting it correctly, you wouldn't have been surprised. You know. So it's interesting, the correspondents are there that they teach us a lesson. And the emotional body is the hardest thing to learn to discern correctly, because the emotional body takes the spiritual world, and when it enters into the emotional body, the astral body, it turns it upside down. So to see anything in the emotions correctly, the emotional body correctly, you have to look at it the way it is and then turn it upside down and then turn it right side up and look at it at every angle until you get an intuitive feeling as to what's really going on with emotions. Because the emotional body is the thing in life that creates almost all of our division. Like you look at both political parties, one guy takes one stance, another guy takes another stance. Both of them feel they're being entirely logical, and maybe one of them is, and maybe neither one of them are, but both of them aren't. But they can't see eye to eye because their emotional bodies turn everything upside down, and neither one of them can get it turned right side up. So their feelings follow higher mind. If their feelings followed higher mind, then they would see eye to eye. But the higher mind sees with pure reasoning. And so there's, through the soul, people can be one. But whenever we're caught and trapped in the emotional body, you know, we're going to not see eye to eye whenever that happens, because it turns everything upside down. And everything you believe in will be upside down until you turn it right side up. So that's what it does to us. And the interesting thing about the emotional body is it leads us into the world of experience. The emotions are female polarization. The mind is male polarization. And it's interesting to look at the difference between a single guy and a single gal. If I visit a single guy friend, open his refrigerator, maybe have a glass of beer, and that's about it, and a loaf of bread.
Moldy.
Yeah, it's moldy. Room's kind of messy. Bike's right in the middle of the kitchen, you know. And which reminds me, I made a delivery to a customer a while back and saw a bike. He had a big standard house. It looked like a family house, you know. So I assumed he was a family man. Opened the door, and there was a bike right in the middle of the living room. And I said, "You're not married, are you?" He says, "No." How'd you know? But you visit a female. You open her refrigerator. It's just chock full of all kinds of things. The bathroom's nice and clean. The kitchen's clean. Dishes are done. And now, like I say, this is not the way with everybody. There are guys that are neat and clean and have refrigerator stock, but it's maybe one out of 20 or something, you know, on their own. But when us guys hook up with a female, all of a sudden everything changes. They want to lead us into the world of experience. And this is what Eve did with Adam. And they were living together in this boring garden, you know, and paradise, and had everything they want, and Eve was just bored stiff. So she says, "Man, I'm going to enter the world of excitement. I'm going to make a pact with the devil. And we're going to have a romping, good, interesting time." And Adam says, "Well, I don't really want to do this, but..."
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thank God for Eve, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And so when the male hooks up with a female, she pulls him into the emotional world, and she starts saying, "Hey, we want a bigger house." Well, the guy's happy. Before I married you, I lived in this little den, you know, and I was happy there. Well, we need a big house, you know. Okay, so he starts working like crazy, getting the house, but the female energy is very much centered on the form also, and so she leads the male into the world of experience. And then eventually, it's the male's job to eventually take charge and pull the female and say, hey, we've had enough experience now. I've been turning everything that's happened has been like upside down. Eve says, well, I thought this experience was going to be great, but boy, and I've got some a rash and pain and menstrual cramps, and I've got all kinds of things I didn't have back in the garden, you know. So then she starts bugging Adam, well, we got to get out of this place. You know, we got to get back to paradise again. So he starts using his mind. This is symbolic of the human race as a whole. He starts using his mind, thinking, okay, here's how we're going to get back to the world of spirit. And Adam starts figuring everything out. Well, everything looked this way, but it's not that way. It's and he turns the emotional reality upside down, and he starts seeing things clearly. And then the male energy starts to use logic and reason, and he starts leading us back. But unfortunately, poor old Adam only gets us so far. He gets us so far, and then he gets stumped. But he's inspired Eve. Eve is now feeling inspired because she's beginning to see that everything was upside down in the emotional world. And Adam was right in using mind and logic and reason to solve all these equations and to turn the untruth and the illusion upside down and see the real truth. And one by one, Adam saw all these things, but it still doesn't lead him back to paradise. And so then Eve starts to take control. And she enters the world of the intuition. The intuition is female polarized. And so the female energy starts getting flashes of inspiration where Adam reaches a dead end. He uses logic and reason, and that still doesn't take him back to God. Doesn't quite make him whole. So he says, well, what can we do now, Eve? And she uses her intuition to flash forth inspiration that solves problems that Adam cannot do just using his concrete mind. And so using them both together, they then are able to enter back in paradise. But that's not the end of the journey. When they get in paradise, then Adam starts to take over again, and he says, well, you've got all this inspiration through the intuitive mind. Now I'm going to enter the world of ideas, which is a higher sphere still. And so Adam comes up with all these inspired ideas. And so the point is, the male and female energies, which all of us have male and female energies within us, these male and female energies working together can solve all problems, take us back to the presence of God while we're right here standing in our physical bodies, so that we're able to enter the Garden of Eden a second time. But this time, when we enter the Garden of Eden, we won't be in a state of ignorance, but we'll be in a state of enlightenment, where we'll understand why it's kind of a good thing to have bliss and joy and abundance and all your desires fulfilled, whereas in the state of ignorance, didn't really appreciate that garden very much. Eve wanted to go out and have all these experiences, but everything was necessary. We the male energies, are forced into experience whether we want to go there or not. You know, we always wind up going there. Like, have you ever been with a female you just want to kick back, relax, watch a football game, and she wants to go do something? The female wants to lead you into experience, and we reluctantly go sometimes. Sometimes we eagerly go, depending on what kind of reward she has in mind for us. But one way or another, if the female wants something, She gets it.